Hello and welcome to the Ham Radio Crash Course Podcast. Back again, another week, talking about ham radio with my unlicensed wife. Without further ado, let's get started. How are you this week, Leia?
I am a little frustrated.
Uh-oh.
So, you know, I have the running test on my iPad.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so I haven't touched it.
Mm-hmm.
I save it for the podcast.
Right.
So I ended up downloading a different app on my phone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And just to run through some practice tests, like, quickly to see how...
Oh, you're taking practice tests outside of the podcast now?
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Well, I really just now just want to get licensed and get it over with.
Okay.
But it did not go well.
So you took a couple tests.
I did.
Uh-huh.
I think I was three away from passing on one of them.
About what you were at last time, right? That was about the same.
And on another one, I was one away from passing.
Oh my gosh. So you're close. You're right there.
Yeah, I don't know, but I really haven't even taken that many tests, if you consider.
Well, I mean, I don't know what the magic number is, but you get to a certain point where you feel confident and you're like, just go do it. Once you start hitting 75%, consistently passing, just go take it, because you're always going to be like more conscious in the moment.
Okay.
Everybody does better, I feel. I mean, that's what everybody tells me. I've been saying it for a long time, so it must be real, I guess. I don't know. Well, anyway, hello everybody, thanks for joining us again on the Ham Radio Crash Course Podcast, the podcast that goes along with the Ham Radio Crash Course YouTube channel. We like to kick it off with a Ham Radio Minute.
It's never a minute.
It's never a minute. But, you know, we're gonna talk a little bit about web SDRs. Are you familiar with this concept at all?
I think you've mentioned it before.
A web SDR is a great way to experience radio without having to buy anything. You just needed internet access. So you can go to websites like websdr.org or kiwisdr.com, and I'll post the links in the description. But with these websites, you can basically use other people's receivers. They're not transmitters, they're receivers, and a lot of them are very broadbanded. And so you can listen all up and down the ham radio bands. In addition to outside ham radio, a lot of them are just totally open spectrum radios. And they're really, really fun because you can point them at pretty much anything. And there's a really cool waterfall that displays on your computer screen. So you can basically see exactly what's going on in the bands. You can click around, listen to different things, and you can see the other users when they're on the waterfall. You can see where they're listening. And you can
I'm glad that you said it was receive only, because I was going to ask some guys just letting everybody use his call sign.
Right? Yeah, exactly. No. That is a topic for another discussion. There is a application called Remote Hams. There are very powerful ham radio stations that rent out time on their station for people to use it remotely via software.
Wow.
Like to the tune of 50 cents to a dollar a minute.
What?
Yes. Yes.
Is that where Miss Cleo went?
It doesn't tell your fortune. What are you talking about?
I mean, that's what I would do. I would just...
I think Miss Cleo is more expensive than that. Now I think about it.
Did you call Miss Cleo?
No, but I definitely remember it being more expensive. I don't think it was 50 cents a minute.
There was a time when people were so lonely to talk to people on the phone that they would call 900 numbers.
Are we talking about this whole time numbers, or are you talking about Miss Cleo?
Miss Cleo and all of those other things, but I guess, yeah, the 900 numbers.
When you say 900 numbers to a man, I think they take that as that kind of call.
And this whole time, they could have just bought themselves a Baofeng and hopped on a...
And just talked to any number of dudes. But this was the 90s. There was no Baofengs back then. Ham radios were still pretty expensive in the handy-talky realm.
Huh.
So, yeah, keep that in mind. So, yeah, if you weren't aware of this, if you're, you know, probably somebody that's new to the hobby, you may not know about these web-enabled SDRs. And SDR stands for software-defined radio, for those, you know, that aren't familiar with the term. What's great about SDRs for all of you that are already licensed, and I'll leave the minute after this little point. If you have a transmitter and you don't know how well your transmitter is getting out, meaning you're transmitting, you're calling CQ, you're giving your call sign, and you're just not getting any calls back, well, open up an SDR, listen to it, and transmit on the frequency you're transmitting on.
Oh.
If you don't hear yourself, you're not making it. And so with those SDRs, you can hop around to different bands. You can figure out pretty quickly where your signal from your home station is propagating to.
That is really smart.
Yeah, and the website for these SDRs show everything on a map. So if you know where you, obviously you know where you are, hopefully, you can go progressively further away from your home QTH until the point that you can't hear yourself anymore.
You know, this is a good point. If you had like Alzheimer's or dementia, mm-hmm. would you be able to figure out where you were using your ham radio?
I mean, if it had GPS, sure. What do you mean?
You know, I mean, could somebody like randomly, like, you'd be like, I don't know where I am, and then somebody fox hunt you?
Yeah. I mean,
even without it, GPS?
If you have Alzheimer's, you might forget your call sign.
Right.
And so if you start transmitting erroneously without your call sign, mm-hmm. somebody may just DF you to find out who the bootlegger is.
I mean, couldn't you just pick it up and say, I've got Alzheimer's? I don't know where I am.
Do people with Alzheimer's know they have Alzheimer's? I was always curious about that. I assume they do when they're
or dementia.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I think they understand that they're confused.
They understand that they're confused.
Yeah.
Is that possible?
Yeah.
Do you understand when you're confused?
Absolutely. Have you not heard me taking these tests?
I mean, I hear the dings. That's what I'm really looking for. But if I don't hear the dings, then I don't know. Yeah. But, well, anyway, that's the opening. Appreciate y'all sticking around for the Ham Radio Minute. We're going to jump right over to our reviews. Little light on the reviews. Little light on the reviews this week.
But this is a weekly podcast. I know, geez.
But we got one that says Love, titled Love. It's from VVCJ space CB space FDA space the.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Love it. Keep up the great work, Leia.
Oh, thank you.
That's it.
There's like no mention of
nope.
you.
Period. Not even a period. Just that's it. Done.
Period it.
Right. Next comment.
Thank you.
Love it.
Oh, my
God. Exclamation point.
Amazing.
This is from Harsh BA. Josh and Leia, love the podcast. Old school, in parentheses, download them to my iPod and listen to them in the car when driving.
Wow.
I'm of the philosophy that I will listen to or read just about anything as long as I might learn just one thing I didn't know before.
I love that. That is a good philosophy.
It is a good philosophy. Great, great life philosophy. You guys also just plain entertain me, and I find myself laughing out loud in the car while driving and listening to you. Incidentally, I met you once at the W6TRW meeting. Me. He meant me.
Oh, not me.
Not you. Maybe in the future, but not right now. I also subscribe to your YouTube channel for the same
reasons. Wait, is that
reasons.
A club? That's a club?
Yeah. One of the clubs I'm a member of.
Do people normally join like a lot of clubs?
Yeah, some do, depending on how active they are in their area. Some people may only have one club in their area.
Mm.
There's a lot of people in more populous areas that have a lot of clubs. Because clubs, generally, I've found, there's not like a club that does all things. They kind of are into one specific thing that's kind of their
jam. Oh, you might
be
in a soda club and then a poda club or...
Right. Or, you know, there's some clubs that, you know, it trends a little bit older and they really just like to get on HF and talk to each other, rag chew, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
W6TRW club... They do a lot of radio projects. They like to show off what they're working on.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool.
It's like a quilt club.
Indeed. Like a So Fun club.
Yes.
That's right.
So fun.
YouTube channel is the same reasons. Thank you very much. Although that is not as entertaining. Whoa.
Oh,
so snap. We got. I got a, what do they call that? Where you get
a backhanded comment.
I also subscribe to your YouTube channel for the same reasons, although that is not as entertaining. But then he says laugh out loud. So
maybe he's kidding. Maybe he's kidding.
Yeah.
Maybe not, though.
You've inspired me to get into soda, have an FT891, and will travel. Cheers and beers from 73, Rob N5XRB.
Well, so thanks,
you,
Rob.
Fantastic.
And have a good time out on those soda summits.
Yeah. This is now kind of the time. I think things are starting to open up again as far as California forestry. I mean, of course, it's a good time for anybody to do a soda because a lot of the U.S. is obviously going into late autumn.
Yeah.
And it's actually not bad to hike in the late autumn. I've found I like to do the hiking in that time and kind of early to mid-spring.
You know what would really be exciting for me?
For you?
Yes, for
okay.
me.
Okay.
If you could find a hike that involved mushroom foraging on the way up to the summit.
The problem with that is the mushroom foraging is usually at the bottom.
Oh.
The bottom of ground, like where it's moist.
I see.
And where we're going, very, very little moisture unless it's
just
snow.
Diametrically opposed.
Right, you're talking about different geomes, I think is the term we use. But anyway, thanks so much for the reviews. If you'd like to give us a review, you can easily do it on iTunes. It's kind of our preferred platform. Makes it really easy for us to pull it up and read it during the little podcast we do.
You know, people were mentioning that they had already left a review.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard for them to comment when they've already left a review.
Mm.
So I think we might try to do something where we can kind of centralize the conversation on each podcast.
I think we have to, because I've gotten a couple of chats now where people have messaged me and said, I don't use iTunes at all.
Yeah.
But love the podcast, love everything you're doing. So we'll figure something out. Maybe we need to make
These podcasts are really a conversation.
Can we add like a web form on hamtactical.com that would do that?
Well, I mean, I guess I could just post the podcast stream,
mm-hmm.
and then people could actually comment.
Yeah, but it's got to be something that we can like get them all in one shot, because otherwise we're clicking through everything. It gets crazy.
No, it would be, because there'd be different.
Episode to episode, right? It depends on where they comment.
Okay.
So a web form.
Let's talk
good.
About this later,
That's a little sausage making, but thanks again for the comments. Appreciate it. So we're going to throw to Leia for Leia's Corner.
I would also like to get into sausage making. That seems like a lot of fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Since you brought it up.
Just.
Because you were trying to say how the sausage is made.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a term we use.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But not like literally.
I'm literally talking about.
I get that.
And I guarantee you there are some hams out there that it's like, I also make sausage.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yes.
I'm sure.
And brew beer.
Right.
And
I've noticed
make
a lot of
sourdough.
Like hunters sometimes are
yes.
into sausage making. Because they got game meat. Game meat works really good in sausage because they can mix up something that's lean with something a little bit more fatty.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think we've had like venison sausage from somebody who
we definitely
hunts before.
Have. Yeah, definitely.
It was excellent.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so I have from Philip, who this is a long-running conversation with Philip now.
Well, hello, Philip. Thank you.
But he actually suggested something very interesting.
Mm.
And for me, I'm kind of minimalist, right? I'm trying to purge a lot of the various glassware we have to get down to a core amount of glassware, right?
Okay.
So pint glasses, aluminum glasses, wine glasses, and champagne glasses is kind of where we're at right now.
Mm-hmm.
But Philip suggests that we should always drink beer according to the rules of the art, nice and fresh, and most importantly, from the right accompanying glass, if the glass is available in your region. Then it actually affects the taste.
Yes, I've heard purists that are very much like that. Like there's a tulip glass that mm-hmm. a lot of stouts and stuff like that are served in. Definitely, we've been to the brewery on Orangethorpe.
Right.
And then they serve it in a glass.
Right.
Appropriate, you know, mm-hmm. for what it is.
Yes.
I'm not against that. I'm generally of the mindset like putting a beer in a glass is good.
Mm-hmm.
But I am not below.
Just drinking it from the can.
Drinking it from the can. Although, obviously prefer putting it into a glass.
A cold glass.
Not necessarily. Because sometimes you don't want to go too cold with like a stout. I never want like a super, super cold stout.
I like a cold glass. I like it to start cold
mm-hmm.
and then it warms up from.
Maybe we just drink everything out of a schooner. That's got to be like a universally good glass, right? I doubt it.
That's just like that's like a fishbowl.
It's just a huge open mouth fishbowl. You can wear it as a hat after you're done.
There is a restaurant out here, Schooner or Later. They serve everything in a schooner.
Yeah.
But you get a view of boats.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's their claim to fame. Okay, so question for the show. This is a very good question. It's from MD73.
All right.
Matt, and he's emailed before. Longtime friend of the show. He says, Leia, question for you and your co-host.
Co-host is ready.
I'm learning about QRP while waiting for my first HF. I can't read today.
Yeah.
Okay. That's like you and Gwait.
Gwait. It is
Gwait. It might be what we're drinking. It's Palomas again.
It is Gwait.
Yeah.
They are Gwait.
Okay, I'm learning about QRP while waiting for my first HF radio to get delivered. On some of the YouTube videos, like KJ6QHD, he says a series of numbers over and over to the guy he's talking to. It sounds like 559, 559, 559, over and over several times. At first, I thought he was giving his signal quality like 5-9, but now I'm confused. Can you explain?
Well, the three numbers is usually something that's used in CW. We use two numbers when we do voice, and the fact he's saying it makes me think that it's a voice contact. Now, when I'm doing a Summits on the Air or something, when I'm doing QRP and I'm portable, because sometimes, even though the signal strength is high, you oftentimes, with your QRP transmitter, want to repeat the signal report three times. So sometimes I will say, you're 5-5-55-5-5.
What?
Signal strength, the quality of the sound is a 5.
Okay.
Signal strength on my radio is a 5.
Okay.
And I say it three times so they get it, so that I'm sure they get it.
So, but normally, okay, so when we were operating HF, mm-hmm. we were just saying like this, the S9 or. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're a 5-9.
Okay.
5-9 is like.
What is the additional 5?
Well, I already said the third number is usually CW, Morse code. The third number is for tonal quality.
Oh, okay, okay. So
it's a
the
third
additional
aspect.
It's not before.
But he said say.
It's after.
He says said. So I'm assuming
he said
means,
it sounds like 559.
But is it
oh yeah,
Morse
he
code?
Says a series of right. numbers over and over again.
So the repeating of the series of numbers over and over again makes me think that it's the signal report mentioned three times to make sure that the other party gets it. It's possible also that he's activating a park and he's providing the three numbers for the park activation, the park distinction.
Okay.
Summits also use. You so, know, three number. It's usually so like W6 is United States. Mm-hmm. CT is the transverse range mountains that are in the San Gabriels. And then like 041 or 015, I think, is actually Pacifico or 014. I could be wrong, but that's the designator.
So normally it would be like 5 voice, 5 signal.
Right.
And then if you're using CW, then it's one more number for tonal quality.
Mm-hmm.
What does tonal quality mean?
How good it sounds, the condition of the audio. Like, you know, is it, it's, I actually don't know enough about that to really give other than tonal quality.
Hey, Matt, thanks for stumping Josh.
Yeah.
I love it. Okay. Now we have an email from Charlie Beerworth. It says, Leia and Josh, I enjoyed your discussion about an Airwaves blacklist website. I think if you were to go forward with the site, there would need to be a rebuttal mechanism.
Oh.
If the intent is to weed out malicious actors who are acting in bad form, this needs to be clearly advertised. In today's cancel culture, I could totally see hams submitting other hams for simply disagreeing rather than being malicious and partaking in misconduct in their use of radios in their hands. The rebuttal mechanism would allow someone to ask to be removed from the blacklist if they believe they have been erroneously added. And the most fair way I could see this is to allow for public review of the accused ham's file case and allow other hams to vote on whether or not there was any misconduct on behalf of the accused. This ham radio, since ham radio is a community of users, I think it would allow for the self-moderation end state that I believe you were going for with your discussion. Hearing Josh's comments about peaceful civil discourse on the bands instantly brought a shirt idea to mind. Please see the attached rough sketch of the idea.
Mm-hmm.
If you guys like it, I'm sure you could do a much better job at drawing it out. Love the show. Love the community. Keep up the awesome work. And the shirt is band peace is world peace. And it's a world with a globe with a antenna on mm-hmm. it
okay.
with a bunch of people holding their hands around the world.
Okay. I have a drawing that I did of a planet with an antenna, big antenna sticking out of it. So we might already be partially the way there.
Yeah. So, hey, Charlie, if we make it, you're getting one.
You're getting one.
Thank you.
Now, so commenting on the blacklist, remember what we said, that it would have to have an audiophile attachment.
Right, right.
You can't just make an erroneous claim. It would be something that we'd have to have something of some kind of, you got to bring the receipts, right?
Right. Receipts.
That's right.
Yes.
So you got to have some evidence that this person was, you know, egregiously being a lid, right?
Yeah.
Now, I don't have a problem having like some kind of voting structure, you know, mm-hmm. with users that say like, sure. you know, we don't really think he belongs here, blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
Or she, I guess, but you know, yeah.
Yeah. Great ideas.
Yeah,
great
absolutely.
Ideas, Charlie. Thank you. So, Larry Annan, longtime friend of the show, wrote in again. He says, hi, Leah. As always, I'm a fan of your podcast. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You and that other guy do a superior job mm-hmm, mm-hmm. of entertaining while educating. Keep up the great work. Yes, the Yelp of ham radio idea. How to deal with the ham radio bully.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to give two thumbs down on the idea of the website. That's like the Rotten Neighbor website that turned into a melee of vicious attacks and revenge postings. We all know how the internet of anonymous persons gets ugly exceedingly fast. I fear that this would just propagate more hate and discontent. That's an interesting point.
Again, I think people are taking this to a place they want it to be instead of specifically covering the topic of the last podcast. We're talking about a group of people that were threatening to do physical harm.
Right.
To other hams.
Yeah.
Like, we're not talking about
egregious.
We're not talking about a political argument. We're not talking about, like, two guys disagreeing on 80 meters. We're talking about people that were, like, literally threatening to show up at somebody's house.
Right.
And hurt them. And again, we were saying audiophile.
Yeah.
If it was just a one-sided.
Document.
If it was just a one-sided thing, like, okay, that probably wouldn't be allowed.
Sure.
But if it was if the whole conversation was there. Mm-hmm. Or a good enough snippet of it where you're like, no, that person is straight up threatening that individual.
Right.
Like, went to the point of saying, hey, look, that person's call sign is this. They live here. We're going to go pay them a visit.
Right.
That's
outrageous.
Yeah, that's outrageous. Yeah. So I appreciate what they're saying. I appreciate the last two emails. But I think that they're looking at it from it's almost like they're trying to find the problem.
Right.
Instead of
and,
the obvious
and Larry kind
issue.
Of gets into it. He's mentioning kind of rude behavior.
We're not talking about rude.
Yeah.
We're talking about threats of violence.
And I get that people get very up in arms about rude behavior because, again, the way I see ham radio is it's like a gentleman's or a fraternity that has a code of conduct that you wouldn't know unless you were a part of it. Really.
Sure. I mean, I think there's general human niceties, right? That should apply regardless of whether you can see the person or not.
But I don't think being rude is a reason to blacklist someone.
No, and I would assume that the website, this hypothetical website we're talking about, wouldn't allow that.
Right.
Right.
I mean, in the end, it's got to be audio files, and then the FCC would then review whatever, you know?
Right.
Okay, so he says, I'm frequently cut off by rude and obnoxious operators who choose not to follow the rules of conduct. What a bully needs is a good a-whooping to solve their problem. The issue is that as long as you allow a bully to be a bully, that just empowers them. They are hard to walk away from and allow them to continue unchallenged. But rise above them, we must.
Mm-hmm.
I simply apologize for operating on their private frequency and announce to everyone that we need to end our QSO and move to a friendlier part of the band. short of going to their homes and cutting antenna wires, it's about all you can do. The FCC is not interested.
Right.
Don't bring the aggravation of that website into your lives. The CW question about using phone and CW to ID yourself is useful to those of us that flap their gums for a long time on the bands. Every 10 minutes, we just hit the button and let a computer program initiate CW call sign ID emissions. Mm-hmm. That keeps us in compliance with the requirement to identify ourselves without detracting from any story about our medical conditions or what the cat just did.
Right. No, and now that he mentions that, that makes total sense. So yeah, I get it. So that's smart.
While you're on the camping trip, I have a suggestion. I've never heard you use the movie line quotes from the best family movie ever made. Download Captain Ron and watch one evening. What a great family educational movie. They use the radio to save their lives at the end. See? Radio related. And that's from Larry K4LCA.
Okay. Well said.
Have you seen Captain Ron?
I think Kurt Russell's in it.
I feel like I watched Captain Ron.
You might have. I haven't.
If it's what I'm thinking, I'm not sure that it was that family friendly.
Oh, I don't know.
But anyways, okay. Last email. This one is from Dash, and it's about radio in movies, which is just so you guys know. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So everybody knows, whenever we are watching anything and Josh sees a ham radio, he immediately whips out his phone
and starts the movie, and roll it back.
Yeah. And starts recording. Mm-hmm. Because those are two things he loves so much, movies and ham radio. That is.
I did it last night.
Oh, really?
After you fell asleep when we were watching that horror movie.
I'm very bad at movies.
I put another horror movie on. And there's a scene where there's a girl, she's going to sleep, and she has a handy talkie on the nightstand, and she like picks it up.
You watched another movie? Did you even sleep last night?
Yeah, I went to sleep. I watched part of it. I did not like it. It was really long and plodding. The first movie was good, though. Spiral? That was good.
It was,
yeah. That was recommended. I would recommend it.
Yes. If you get Shudder.
Shudder.
Yes.
We're not affiliated with Shudder, but it's the Netflix of horror movies, and I have watched plenty of bad horror movie on that.
You watch horror movies all year round.
I do. Yeah.
Yeah.
All year round. And the worse they are, the better. I'm a big fan. Oh,
terrible.
Big fan. I'm a big fan of the Red Letter Media YouTube channel.
Yeah.
I watch them watch movies and then talk about them. That's how serious I am about bad horror movies.
That's terrible. It says, first off, thank you for sharing Josh with a bunch of radio dorks.
Thank you for letting me out of my cage land to do a little ham radio podcast.
I would be nowhere without HRCC as a constant, plainly explaining companion. Oh. That is so nice.
I very much appreciate that. Thank you.
I got my technician last week and have already joined a club and found a perfect morning net on my local repeater. Yeah, that's awesome.
You're doing better than most people when they start out. Kudos that you've got a club that's local and they've got a good morning net.
Yeah.
A morning net is something they do like every weekday or every day. That's a big deal.
Well, it becomes your commute companion, right?
Uh-huh, yeah.
That you can actually have a conversation with.
Yeah, and like people, you know, you get to make friends with people. They know what you're up to that day, how things are going.
I'm telling you, I really like repeaters because that is like a meeting room.
Yeah, it's like a party line.
Yeah. The other hams are all older than me, but I've never had such an easy conversation with a more gracious, respectful bunch.
Oh, I believe it.
Yeah, this is what I'm saying. It's like a gentleman's hobby.
Yeah, I mean, there's
got to be a certain intelligence level you have to achieve to be able to pass the ham radio test.
And some determination. Learn. Yeah. Right? You got to have some discipline to go through it.
So it's self-weeding.
A little bit. Yeah, self-policing, yeah.
I'm already jonesing for more power, but remembering it's about the journey more than the gear.
Oh, yeah.
Did you hear that, Josh?
It's a marathon.
It's about the journey.
It's a marathon.
Not
a sprint.
The gear. No. Journey.
What?
Not the gear. You can...
More radios.
Have the
more
journey.
More radios. Better journey.
No.
Good journey. More radio.
Do you get a new car every time you want to take a different trip?
Well, sometimes like a car that only goes 10 miles an hour. And sometimes I like to flip a switch and have that car do 400 miles an hour. Right? So.
Okay.
What do they call that 10 mile an hour car? The QRP of cars.
Okay.
Slow cars for heroes.
QRP is for heroes. I'll get into that 10 mile an hour car. It's like bumper cars.
The trick is not dying. You feel really good, though, when you get your destination.
Yeah.
You really earn something.
No, that's like when we...
It's basically a covered wagon.
It's the ATV.
Well, I gotta get the oxen out. Oh, Timmy's got dysentery again. It's like, where are we? We're in Long Beach.
You got to make sure you've got enough wagon wheels.
Yeah.
I'm
just a banker from Boston over here. I don't know what a wagon tongue is. What is this? He's out in somebody's backyard shooting random things. He's got like 18,000 bullets.
The fact that you remember so much about Oregon Trail.
All the household pets in the neighborhood.
You've got some real problems.
But he can only take back 20 pounds of meat. So there's literally 1,300 pounds of house pets, possums, and other...
That's not sustainable.
No.
No.
Just raping the suburbs.
Besides, I sort of romanticize the idea of a bunch of HRCC acolytes running around with 3 to 5 watt Baofengs, not getting bothered by crybaby base stations on HF. What is...
I don't know. What was that?
What is a crybaby base station? Is this a trope I don't know about?
I mean, that goes back to just the bad actors that are sometimes out there, I think.
Gotcha. Anyway, if you haven't passed your test yet, no dash, I haven't.
I haven't. I have not.
You will. Listening to the past episode of the podcast, I really related to how you felt about the questions in the practice exam. You got this. And if you already got it, congratulations. No congratulations yet.
Not yet.
So here's the question. What is your favorite movie or TV show that featured ham radio? Ugh. And was it a good representation? Your face is like, I just have so many more bad examples.
Yeah, there's just not a lot of good ones. You know, everybody mentions Frequency. Have you seen Frequency?
Oh, I would have gone straight Walking Dead.
They barely use ham radio.
That's literally how Morgan and Rick meet.
Yeah, but that is a bad representation of ham radio.
Wow, see? They're only doing simplex. There was more bad than good.
That's what I'm saying. They're only doing simplex. They don't talk about setting up repeaters. They don't talk about HF, trying to figure out what's going on across the country.
Oh, what about what about that one apocalypse show when the guy was like at the North Pole? And he was transmitting.
Oh, and there was that spaceman in the space station?
Yes.
That was not a good show, though.
It was not a good show. Oh, the question wasn't if it was a good show, and that's never a qualifier for you.
he was like a Russian cosmonaut, I think. I think most people would argue that Frequency is the best representation. It's the most prominent radio. I mean, do you understand the concept of Frequency?
I don't think I watched it.
It's about a son who uses his father's radio, and he... starts to talk to his dad in the past through the radio.
What?
And helps his father not die.
What?
Yeah. So it's supernatural.
You're telling me that I can talk to the past with ham radio?
No. And that's why it's a poor representation of radio.
I thought you said it was the best.
No, I would say that that's the one that people would reference the most because it is heavily radio involved.
Oh.
Heavily. Ham radio is all up in that one. The other one that gets referenced a lot, and I actually like the movie, is Contact with Jodie Foster.
Yeah.
In the beginning, she's the whole opening is her on a ham radio.
Just
circling around the band, going around all over the place. Not the best representation because I don't think she uses her call sign, but I can't remember exactly. You know, there's not a lot. There really isn't. Not enough that I would be like, yeah, go watch this one. It's like paints us in a really good, you know, light or just accurate light. I don't need a good light. Just, you know, make it factual.
I've got an answer for this.
Okay.
And it's accurate.
Oh.
It's like a good representation.
Okay.
And it's one of my favorite shows.
Is it
Phantom
Elf?
Signals.
Oh.
On Discovery Science Channel.
There's not a lot of ham radio in that. It's a lot of discussing just, you know.
Well, they talked about The Last Cosmonaut.
The Last Cosmonaut was not ham radio, though.
What was it?
It was receiving the VHF, UHF signals from space.
What was the story about the two brothers?
Again, that was the moon landing. They're not on ham radio frequencies. Outside the ham radio bands.
Well, then I take it back. That show is... I'm just kidding.
Well, thank you for watching, by the way. Really appreciate that. But yeah, I don't really have a good answer for that question.
Sorry, Dash.
And it's...
Womp, womp.
You know what's funny is Kyle A0Z does his quiz show. And he had a 11 question something segment on ham radio and media. And even in that, some of the questions referenced a movie that I got really excited about. I went and watched. There's no ham radio in it at all.
What?
And I was like, what? What's going on? The one that was referenced, which is a pretty good movie, it's called The Wall. It's about a sniper in Iraq, I think.
Okay.
I think John Cena's in it. And the reference was, oh, no, yeah, they use Yaesu 817s through the whole thing. And this is a sniper movie, like military? So I'm like, I doubt it. And so I got really enthusiastic about it. And I went and watched it, and no, it was a Harris military radio that looks similar to a Yaesu 817, but totally different radios. There's actually two of them in it. There is a lot of radio in it. They only talk over the radio pretty much. The majority of the discussion is over the radio.
All
but
right.
It's not ham radio.
All right.
So, yeah. The Wall.
What about Good Morning Vietnam?
Again, that's not ham radio frequencies. That is radio.
Oh, was it just a regular FM radio station or an AM radio station?
It's a radio station.
It's been so long.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, is that it for the emails?
Yeah, that's it.
Very good. Well, thanks,
everybody. Thank you, Dash.
For
Thank
emailing.
You, everyone.
And if you would like to email Leah, it is leah@hamtactical.com.
Yes. And I love emails.
You do. And yeah, and reminder on the reviews. And we'll figure something else out. But, you know, keep the iTunes ones coming. Helps us out and helps rank us in the iTunes pantheon.
Yeah, because I feel like when everybody's listening to us read these emails, there's people are probably saying, wait, I have something to say about that. There's no way to have a back and forth when there's like very good information coming through on the emails.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. And you've got a nice little correspondence going with a couple of people.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, good discussions across the board. So yeah, thank everybody for doing that. Very good. Well, you know what time that is then, Leah. It's time to get back to the test.
I'm so discouraged from having, like, taken a couple of practice tests.
Oh, come on.
I've discouraged myself.
Buck up. You got it?
Yeah. Yeah, I got it.
All right.
Which of the following propagation types is most commonly associated with occasional strong over-the-horizon signals on the 10, 6, and 2-meter bands?
Mm.
What?
Yeah, this is when you just got to know.
A, backscatter. B, gray line propagation. C, sporadic E. Is that where you're just like randomly taking ecstasy?
Yeah.
Like, I can't.
It's over the horizon, man. We're way over the horizon, bro.
D, D-layer absorption. I don't know what any of these are.
Okay.
But I'm going to go with gray line propagation. Sporadic E. It was the ecstasy the whole time.
The drop in that E. That's right.
What is sporadic E?
So it's a phenomenon that's not really understood completely.
Hey, do they call E Molly now?
Yeah. Yeah. That's what the kids call it these days.
so that you don't get confused when you take the ham radio test. You're just right. Like, oh, you know what? That's too confusing. We got to call it something else.
Right.
Molly.
The youth yeah. was getting their ham radio terms confused.
Yes.
With yeah. illicit like, drug use. Yes.
Much like I just.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So sporadic use is something that people don't really fully understand. There are certain seasons or parts of the year where it seems to happen more often, but it's not precluded from happening more outside of those seasons. I did a live stream on the topic with Ham Radio DX Hayden,
okay,
out of Australia, and he's quite knowledgeable in the area.
I must have really missed that one.
It was a really good interview. I really, really liked talking to Hayden on the topic. It was fantastic. Really got me enthusiastic about it. So what do we know about 6 meters, generally 6 meters, 10 meters, and what do you know about 2 meters specifically? Line of sight, right?
Yeah.
Well, 6 meters can be kind of like that too. 10 meters can kind of be like that too. Well, when a sporadic E pocket opens up.
What is an E? What does E stand for?
It's referring to the E layer of the atmosphere.
Oh.
So it's a sporadic pocket of, you know, propagation.
Huh.
It's something to do with that. A little pocket opens up that allows refraction.
Wow.
Of line of sight signals traditionally.
How big are the pockets?
In some cases, the openings can allow. I may have this mixed with kilometers to miles, but I believe like you're capable of doing over 2,400 miles with some sporadic E openings. Yeah. There's a maximum amount that they can achieve, and it's in the ARRL handbook. I can't remember all the numbers sometimes.
And what triggers sporadic?
They don't really know.
Does it happen more in some seasons than other seasons?
I just said that. Yeah, yeah.
But like the weather. What is the weather generally like?
Don't know. Some people believe that it's a collision of like high and low pressure or high temperature, low temperature weather patterns.
Huh.
But not necessarily, because again, I would tell you if I knew more about it.
Mm.
And I'm saying that because I don't think anyone knows more about it.
I just want to hear some real theories about this.
I don't know.
Somebody needs to
cow
study.
Farts.
Then why don't you go over to Corona?
It's strictly over the Midwest. That's where it's from. It's a very interesting phenomenon. Hayden was talking about how they, when it's the, you know, when the seasons roll around or the time of the year rolls around, mm-hmm. they will use something like Whisper. Whisper is a digital mode. They will turn their radios on 10 meters, 6 meters, or 2 meters, or something like that, and they'll start transmitting on Whisper. Normally, what Whisper does, Whisper is a beaconing digital mode. So you beacon out, and all the little people that can hear you pop up on a map.
Huh.
It says, oh, hey, you made it out this far. And so line of sight stuff, you're making it 20 miles, 30 miles, whatever.
Okay.
And they'll just let it run throughout the day, and they'll just keep an eye on it. And then all of a sudden, they'll start getting 600 miles away.
Okay.
And then 1,000 miles away. And those are the stations that are hearing. So when that happens, they'll flip over to voice and try and make sporadic E calls.
Nice.
So the way it works is when there's a sporadic E pocket that opens, it'll start at like 10 meters. And then it will move down the band or up the band. So it'll go from 10 to 6 to 2 meters.
But I guess I'm trying to understand how much land mass or how large of a area could you really use the sporadic E?
Oh, here's a really good example of that. People in the South,
okay.
right? They're on their radio.
Okay.
Handy talkie, mm-hmm. talking on a repeater.
Okay.
All of a sudden, they're hearing a repeater like in New York.
Oh.
Because it's, remember, line of sight, and they mm-hmm. do frequency coordination. So once you get out of like 200 miles away, they can reuse that frequency again for another repeater.
Right.
Well, at a certain point, some other repeater up the Eastern Seaboard is going to have a similar frequency.
Right.
As the repeater you're on. and all of a sudden you're talking all the way on a repeater in another state.
So this could span like half the U.S.?
And somebody's going to correct us, and that's good. You know, jump in and correct us. I feel like it doesn't go east and west as much as it goes like south north.
Oh.
I think. I could be wrong. But that is mitigated somewhat if you're talking about over the ocean. I believe people have made transcontinental sporadic E contacts before. Pretty sure they have. It's fascinating when it happens, because all of a sudden you're having a conversation in your local repeater, and now you're hearing
people
with different accents.
How long does it usually?
Totally random. No idea. It could be a minute. It could be 15 minutes.
But not like an hour.
Totally random. Could be, but those are rare.
Huh.
Yeah, it's super rare. People just hunt for sporadic E. Like, they set their stations up to go after sporadic E, just because of how, like, curious and, like, mysterious the whole thing is.
That is.
Yeah.
It's like you're actually experiencing science.
Oh, yeah.
In a very, I don't want to say personal, but
real, tangible.
Yeah. Yes, tangible.
Right. Yeah. You're literally set it up to beacon, right? You're beaconing out.
Yeah.
Waiting for it. And then it starts to open. And you're like, oh my gosh.
It's like it's something invisible that's happening that everybody is experiencing, but only hams are taking advantage of it.
Well, I mean, yeah, for everybody else, it's totally transparent to them. Like, they have no idea the phenomenon.
Exactly.
It's totally just a science thing that's happening that everybody's just like, what's going on TikTok?
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Messy TikTok.
Shots fired. Shots fired, TikTok. All right. Well, that was question one. We're doing great. We're moving.
Solid pace. Yes.
That's right.
When is it permissible to transmit messages encoded to hide their meaning? Meaning.
To hide their meaning.
Clandestine ham radio organized meetings. A, only during contests.
That's exactly what you want to hide your...
only when operating mobile. C, only when frequencies above 1280 megahertz are used. D, only when transmitting control commands to space stations or radio control craft. I thought you were never supposed to use encoded messages.
Well, you don't have that option, do you?
Okay, well, I'm going to guess D, because space station.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah.
You got it.
So I have been floating
this
idea.
You want to know why? You throw this one out there really quick, right? If you have an airplane, we just talked about this last episode. If you have an airplane that you're using ham radio frequencies to control.
Yeah.
And some jerk figures out that you're doing it and just hijacks your plane and flies it over to there.
Yeah.
And now you got no plane. So that's when you can use that.
You know, plane sucker.
I don't know if it works with planes, but that kind of idea. Or like a satellite, right? If you know, a college spends lots of money to put a ham radio satellite or a satellite with ham radio on it into orbit. You don't want to like let the control interface just be a bunch of hams.
Right.
And they just convert it over to only be ham radio all the time.
So, you know, we've tossed this idea of like a mystery novel centered around ham radio.
Don't tell people my idea. Although, you know what? So I'm not saying I had this idea first, nor do I play that game with people because I don't care. But it turns out Steve, K5ATA's wife, is a novelist, and she's doing this now.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
so get on it, Leia.
It's going to be a race. Let me just add this on top of the t-shirt design.
So let me give you my pitch. Okay, here's my pitch. A couple.
Yes.
And love each other deeply. They make this website called Ham Radio Yelp.
And then they're killed.
And then they're killed. And it's a mystery to figure out who killed them. Who done it? It's a classic who done it.
There's only one bad review on the entire website.
It's that guy.
This is it's a novella, really.
And then the audio, yeah. Por qué?
No.
Tell a novella.
No, a novella is a short novel.
No, man. I know. That's what we need. We need a telenovela with ham radio in it.
Why? I'm literally talking about a short novel.
Again, you know my comedic styling is, I know exactly where you're going, but that same thing could be used in a much more obscure way, and that is how I will take it. That mm-hmm. is my game. Mm-hmm. That is yes. how I go. Mm-hmm. So again, I say, ¿por qué?
So, Steve's wife, mm-hmm. you're welcome to actually just go ahead and write that.
There it is.
It is for you.
Who murdered Hosh?
What is the unit of electromotive force? A, an ohm, the ohm. B, the volt. C, the ampere. Ampere?
Ampere. Yeah, you got it.
D, the watt. It's D, the watt.
Watt? Right. The what?
It's the volt. God
the what?
What? I was so sure.
You looked very confident.
I know. I was feeling myself.
Yeah. That was.
But it is the volt.
Wow.
Which makes sense because there's a car called the volt, right?
If you get hit by it, that's a lot of force.
All of these things could be a car, an electric car.
The ampere.
Watch out, Elon. All right. Well, I guess I'll have to remember that.
Somebody's going to come out with a car named the Edison, and it just goes around electrocuting Teslas. That's how they win the e-car wars.
I'm not doing really great here.
No. No. I think you missed one last week, and you did a lot. So you're just evening it out, I guess, a bit. I don't, you know, don't take it in stride.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You're taking a stride? Keep no.
No.
Unacceptable. What instrument other than an SWR meter could you use to determine if a feed line and an antenna are properly matched? A, a directional watt meter. B, ohm meter. C, iambic pentameter.
You've been getting hard questions, by the way, except for that answer. That one is...
D, voltmeter, the iambic pentameter.
Mm-hmm.
Shakespeare, it turns out.
That is
out.
A good question yes. for that alone. But do you know the answer?
This is supposed to be easy, you said.
No, the question is not easy, but that one answer, you can, I think, remove it from play.
Yes, yes, yes. I'm going to go with directional watt meter. But your face.
I'm trying to give you poker face. I'm trying not to, if you're looking, maybe that's why you did last week so well. Cause I was a little like.
A little loosey-goosey. You're going to take credit for my.
Well, I don't know. You're looking at my face for my clues. Answer, so yes. Your answer having. Yes.
Okay.
Got that dead pod going. That's good. Oh. Dead pod air.
Okay, I just got a directional watt meter. Yep. Why did you have that face?
I had no face. I had no face. I just looked at you.
You're faceless. New horror movie. The Faceless Examiner.
What are you talking about?
You don't think faceless things are scary?
Maybe they should do that when they do the, like in the month of October, all the online tests.
All the VEs have no face.
They should all wear like scream masks.
Yeah, that'll be, that's great. Not at all.
I like
it.
Yeah. Pick your favorite masked horror villain.
Chucky.
What?
Chucky's so creepy.
He's not masked.
I mean, it's a doll.
It's an animated doll.
Yeah.
That has the soul of a serial killer in it.
Yes, yes.
It's not a human in a mask.
Okay. All right.
Jeez, man.
Pinhead?
No.
I know. You get so mad.
What are you talking about? So those are Cenobites. Yeah. Don't you know anything about the masterpiece work of Clive Barker?
Which of the following describes a simple dipole orientation parallel to the Earth's surface? A, a ground wave antenna. B, a horizontally polarized antenna. C, a rhombic antenna. D, a vertically polarized antenna.
You better get this, lady.
Why?
We have talked about dipoles so much, and we've definitely talked about the other things that I won't mention.
Is it horizontally polarized? Is it what your face is? It's vertically polarized. Your mouth is twitching, though.
You better get this right. I'm just saying.
I don't think I'm going to get it right. A horizontal. Why did you make that face then?
I'm not making any faces. Horizontal. The two legs.
Yeah,
horizontal.
That's what I thought. Parallel. And then your face twitched.
Think parallel to the Earth. If you took a line that was parallel to the Earth, mm-hmm. and you raised it up, it mm-hmm. is horizontal.
Mm-hmm.
It's horizontal.
That's what I thought. So, and then I said that. Again, and then your face twitched.
Why are you looking at me for hints? We've already said I'm not here to give you hints.
I know, but your face twitched in disappointment. Maybe you should wear a mask.
Maybe.
Like a Chucky mask.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I got it. Yeah.
What is the name of a device that combines several semiconductors and other components in one package? A, a multipole relay. B, an integrated circuit. C, a transducer. Or D, a transformer. I'm going to say integrated circuit.
You got it.
Thank you.
Good work.
I didn't look at you this time.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'm just going to...
Don't second guess yourself.
Keep staring at the screen.
I mean, how many has that been? Has that been five? You want to keep going to try and...
No.
Double or nothing? Get your money back?
No, I'm clearly having an off day.
Okay. All right. Well, I think you did all right. I think you did fine.
You're so disappointed.
I think it balanced out in the end. I was a little disappointed over the horizontal, you know, dipole thing, to be honest, to be fair.
I said horizontal dipole first.
Horizontal polarization, yes. So why didn't you go with it?
Because your face twitched.
I did nothing with my face. I'm not doing anything. I'm just looking at you. I'm literally not talking. I mean, yes, I'm not talking.
You just looked so disappointed and twitchy.
Well, maybe don't say, like, I'm thinking about going horizontally polarized. And, like, look me in the eye. Like, just go for it. Just go. Wait for the ding and then go. Just make it happen, man. Just make it happen. Well, I think you're doing fine.
Don't, I blame you.
Don't lose, 100. Don't lose spirit. Don't lose spirit. You're doing great. Okay, so the show topic today could, you know, it's going to take your involvement to kind of, you know, talk about kind of what you've experienced with living with
okay.
me. Okay, in a sense.
I'm an expert at living with you.
You are. And the topic is incorporating ham radio into your life.
Oh.
This was a topic that I thought might be best served in podcast form.
You hide it from your wife. You hide any interest.
Like
in it
anything
until
you care about
you are
hide it from your wife.
Already so deeply invested in the marriage mm-hmm. that it's too late to turn around. You know,
you put in a solid 10,
yeah,
keeping it on the down low, and then you put a massive antenna on your roof. Just, you know, it's a long game. It's a long con, is what you're saying. This is how good marriages and good ham radio operators are made. Is that what you're saying? The reason I brought this up is I reached out to Patreon, as I normally do every couple of months, every 6 months or so. Mm-hmm. I reach out and say, like, hey, what's everybody want to talk about mm-hmm. in upcoming patron picks?
Let's chat.
Right. And then so I take the big list and I let them vote. And the one that came up was how to incorporate radio in your life for social, learning, communication, and fun. And each day of the week, a day in the life of the radio operator that is forwarding the hobby. So like...
A day in the life.
Okay. Like, so how do you incorporate radio like into your daily life, right? So that was kind of the topic. And so I was kind of going to... The way I, you know, thought about this is like how do you make it easy to do radio, but kind of still also manage your like expectations a bit, right? Because you know, you got some responsibilities you got to do, right? So a lot of people I've found, right, in my ham radio time, and we've already referenced it, right, earlier, is get involved when you're driving to work.
The commute.
Use the commute. I know people have less of that now, mm-hmm. But you can absolutely capitalize on the time you're behind the wheel.
Well, I mean, if you're working from home, what you can do is an hour before you need to log in to your first meeting, mm-hmm. get in your car, drive around, mm-hmm. use your ham radio and come back.
Oh, like a pretend commute. Or you're like, hey, everybody, I'm going to go get breakfast. Do you want some McMuffins? And then you come back an hour later and everybody's like, where have you
been? Oh, my God, the line for those McMuffins.
That's insane. It's just so crazy. I was literally just hassling the McDonald's drive-thru people with my radio, talking on their frequency for 45 minutes. I didn't buy any sandwiches. I was just in the parking lot. You can do that with some non-ham radios again. Well, they're quote-unquote ham radios.
Keep it legal.
Yeah, exactly. They're cracked a little bit to go a little open, a little loose with the transmit frequency. So, yeah, absolutely capitalize on time you're driving, right? I would also highly recommend that if you have access to repeaters, good repeaters in your area, have a radio on listening to the repeater. Mm-hmm. Just have it on. And if a conversation pops up, and you want to talk. It's just you got to take the effort of like turning the radio on and keeping it charged, right? I mean, that I would say that would be like, right, the part that you'd have to do to incorporate it in your life.
You do always have a radio on.
Yeah, most of the time.
Yeah.
Same goes for HF.
It's kind of annoying, actually. Oh, depending geez. On how loud you have it.
Okay. Well, yeah. Now it's just coming out.
Yeah, it is. The truth.
And the same goes with HF radios. Have an HF radio that you can just turn on, maybe leave it on a frequency that, you know, you've heard people talk on before. Maybe there's a net, mm-hmm. a morning net that you can listen to or engage in, you know, whatever, what have you. To do that, though, and the focus, I think, here, the thing that I think needs to be understood is the incorporated in your life. To be able to do that, you kind of are moving more in the home, in the shack, to be able to make that happen.
Well, in the car, it's your mobile rig, right?
Well, yeah. But even then, like you've got to go through the effort of putting that all together.
Sure.
You got to put the antenna on your car. You got to get the radio mounted somewhere. But
isn't that part of the fun for hams?
I think so. I think that's, you know, part of the gear acquisition syndrome kind of thing. But if you're like a portable operator, maybe it's a little hard to make ham radio a part of your everyday life. Like if you're a portable HF operator, you really like HF radio. Mm-hmm. Well, it's kind of hard to make that an everyday thing where you're going to like run out the door. Hi, honey, I'm home. I'm going to the backyard, right? And I'm going to set up an antenna. It's going to take me X number of minutes to set up the antenna and then going to set the radio up and I'm just going to sit outside, right?
I mean, I feel like POTA is probably, if you have a family, that's probably one of the easiest ways to kind of integrate.
But again, everyday life. What? POTA, a lot of people do POTA on like the weekends and stuff. It's like a weekend warrior thing.
Your weekends are a part of your life.
No, I know, but I mean, absolutely. Okay. I'm not taking away from that point. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Or work radio around the things you're going to do. If you are going to be grilling, you should have a radio on next to you.
Yes.
If you're going to be doing something in the backyard, have a radio on.
I'm not sure that you are ever outside for an extended amount of time without a radio.
Right.
I mean, you.
Yeah. Of course. I mean, why not? I try and incorporated into whatever I'm doing. And then it just becomes a thing that people don't. He's not weird anymore. That's just Josh.
Oh, no. No. I don't think anybody says he's not weird anymore.
No, they stop saying he's weird. They just say, oh, that's just Josh.
Sure.
Right. So okay. It's just assumed.
Sure. Sure.
The words hurt less. It's just who you are. Right. When yes. And they don't say specifically, oh, he's just weird.
Yes. Right? They've come to accept.
Right. Yes. Right. Yeah, so there's all kinds of stuff you can do, and then just, you know, have the forethought of maybe having a bit of a schedule. So a lot of people have smartphones. Mm-hmm. Program the nets into your cell phone so that you're not surprised by it.
Okay.
Use a phone app to tell you when satellite passes are going to be overhead so that you know. So you're gotcha. Not surprising your family that you're running out, you know, like,
yeah,
hey, I'm gone. Okay, bye. You know, and you've got a crazy...
Yeah.
Metal Christmas tree hanging off your arm running out the door. You know, all kinds of stuff like that. It just becomes part of your life, right? So it's just a matter of kind of finding the thing you're into. Mm-hmm. And then we say normalize, but to a ham radio operator, normalization means easy access to. So my HF time getting on HF really increased when I moved from being a portable primary operator to having an antenna at home.
Sure.
The antenna has more noise on it because it's in the suburb environment, but I'm on the radio more often as a byproduct because I'm only as far away of the shack, flipping a switch, and I'm on the air.
If the question is how you integrate it into your family life...
Oh, this is the wrong podcast. I'm still trying to correct that. But...
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. Again, it's a long con. You start a podcast. You trick your wife to being on the podcast. You say, honey, it would be great if we had you. Wouldn't it be funny? Funny. We have you take the practice test until you're so good you could pass the test. And then you're going to get your license. I mean, I love you. It's going to be great. I love you. But you're going to get that light. And horizontally polarized. You better, I swear.
It was your face.
No, so go ahead.
So one of the things I actually really enjoyed, one was in the car listening to the repeater, like when we're on long drives, because mm-hmm. it's actually kind of entertaining.
It can be. Sometimes it just puts you to sleep, which is good for you too.
Yeah, all good things.
Right.
But I really liked the trivia net. And we would actually yes. build a walk around, like, when the trivia net would come on, we would leave the house go on a walk together. And at that time, we already had kids. We were pushing a stroller.
Those trivia nets were really late at night, though. That was when we were trying to get, like, the kids to fall asleep when they were really young.
Mm-hmm.
And we did the trivia. Yeah. That's a good point. So, again, that's a net, though, right? So you're kind of making that a part of your routine.
Mm-hmm.
And it was structured around something that you don't expect your significant other necessarily to, like, take the radio and here you go, you operate tonight. Although you could. Right. It's not that difficult. But it's something that they would be interested in.
Sure.
The Keller Peak repeater. Every Thursday they have a net, but it's a discussion.
Mm-hmm.
They usually have an expert on. So I've done this 2 years in a row now. They have me come out to talk about soda.
Oh, nice.
This year, I did it with W6RIP, Kevin, mm-hmm. who's, you know, part of the YouTubers bunch, all that stuff. And he kind of kicked it all off, and then I talked. The year before that, it was Jerry, KG6HQD, Kevin, and then me.
Cool.
And so, yeah, you know, stuff like that, right? And so every Thursday night, they have a net, and it runs for like an hour or more.
Mm-hmm.
And there's comments. They take comments from people, and it's kind of a talk back and forth. What they normally talk about is wine tasting.
Ooh.
So it's a discussion on food and wine.
Why did I not know about this?
They did a whole series on cooking outdoors, specifically towards the gourmand side of cooking.
Why did I not know about this net?
The problem with this net is it's oftentimes when I'm driving home.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So it's sometimes tough for you to catch it.
Gotcha.
So it's just bad timing. But
yeah.
I mean, you,
sounds
you,
like it.
When you get your license, you could just have could your just, own radio.
I could just listen to it and talk on it all on my own.
Yeah.
All on my own. Yeah.
You would be allowed at that point. You would have the permission. So, yeah, I think it's really about
I think
how
you're also missing
you
you're also missing this component of mm-hmm. like the fiddling with the radio. Like not just the using it, but like sorting out all of the components and chasing down what the problems are. I remember when you were putting the first massive antenna on the roof. Mm-hmm. And you spent a good amount of time. It feels like there's actually always another ham radio project. And I don't know if this is because of you being a YouTuber or if that's just a ham's life.
It's definitely a ham. Yeah. For a lot. There's always like another technical hurdle.
Yeah.
It's very much the, well, I'm going to go to this antenna. Well, that antenna, I'm likely going to need to get X, Y, or Z thing.
Yeah.
And then you're going to get X, Y, or Z thing. And you're like, okay, cool, I got that. Well, now I'm going to start doing digital modes. Okay, but then I'm going to need like a sound card or some kind of sound card interface.
It's like when you give a mouse a cookie.
Right. There's always kind of like another $100 or another thing I got to build.
Feels like it. Feels like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And once you like crest one mountain, there's kind of like the next thing. And I viewed it kind of as, again, going back to the normalization. And again, when I say normalization, I mean of your day-to-day life. Oftentimes, what we're trying to do with ham radio is make ham radio more convenient,
mm-hmm.
but we're doing it by creating some convoluted Rube Goldberg type device to mm-hmm. like make it do that.
Right.
And then in the pursuit of that device alone and understanding it, it becomes fun. You
gotcha.
Know what I mean? So, yeah, I mean, going back to digital modes, you know, you could be ham radio operator that, you know, really only does digital modes. Well, you could work, technically. You could be in front of your computer doing other work, and you could have a Raspberry Pi connected to your radio. And that Raspberry Pi, you could remote desktop into it,
mm-hmm.
and you could, you know, periodically hop in there, make a couple of QSOs, go back to work,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, and it would just depend on how you have your home network set up. You could even tunnel to that outside of your home. You could do remote radio from your home. It just depends on how complicated you want to make it.
I think it's also an element of like wanting to check in, right? Like it's every day, it's kind of like you're checking in with your ham radio buddies.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's that. Know? Yeah, sure.
But I guess big question is, when do you schedule your trips to HRO?
you know, that is that could be a part of your everyday life.
God, please no.
Is going to HRO. There's definitely, you know, definitely before COVID, there have been stretches of time where I was going there at least once a week.
At least
once a week.
Yeah.
And a lot of the times it wasn't to buy anything. It was just to like
have their delicious coffee and donuts, I guess.
That's it. Yeah. And just hang out, talk to people, you know. Sometimes I would take what I was working on down there to kind of like show everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of just
mm-hmm.
like, hey, you know, check out this radio.
Like a So Fun Club. So Ham Club.
That's right.
Ham That's it up. Where you quilt your radio.
And you quilt your antennas.
Yeah.
An antenna quilt.
Yes. And in that case, you need a lot of squares.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But yeah, it just really... So I'll kind of leave it at this, unless Leia has some more thoughts on this. A lot of the time, you're going to find something you like in ham radio. And you're going to structure what you buy or what you build or what you're planning kind of around that passion. We talked to Sean last week. Sean is a prolific satellite operator. He's also a minimalist.
Mm.
And so what he's done is he's pared his shack down for doing satellites
mm-hmm.
to exactly what he needs.
How do we get
to
there?
Be successful?
How do we get there?
Well, satellites are a portable operation. You have to...
Okay.
It's not a...
Okay. Anyway. This is exciting. I can't believe I missed this stream because I was working.
So he pares everything down to the point that it's just focused on being the most efficient possible at making a satellite contact.
Okay.
And oftentimes, the same rules could apply for being the most efficient in how you set up your car for doing repeater, talking on repeaters.
Okay.
Where you place your antenna, you know, how you connect your radio to the battery. There are obviously more preferred ways of doing that, and often the preferred ways are sometimes the less aesthetically pleasing mm-hmm. or technically more difficult. You know, like the best thing to do if you want to put an antenna on your car is pop a hole right in the roof. And that's where you mount your mobile antenna.
Yikes.
Right? But it's like pretty much the most efficient place to put an antenna or most effective. And you have a really quick disconnect, reconnect type of thing. It's mm-hmm. called an NMO mount. Totally waterproof, so it's nothing like that. But it's like you've got to have the wherewithal to bring the headliner down on the inside, take a drill, pop a hole, mount mm-hmm. the antenna, right? That whole thing. But then when you're done with it, now you've got a really good antenna system. You probably will do better than people that just have something kind of strapped to the side of their car.
You got to go all in, it sounds like.
Kind of. You got to go all in the things that are going to make your specific pursuit effective. Like I put that mobile HF radio in my Nissan Leaf. Mm-hmm. To achieve that, I had to do what's called bonding. So everything that was a movable part of the car, the doors, the hood, the mm-hmm. trailer hitch, they all had to be like electrically connected to the main body of the car using flat strap wire.
Huh.
And that was something, you know, I had to take a day out to basically unbolt bolts off of the doors and the trailer or the trunk lid and the hood of the car to get them all electrically connected to the main body of the car.
Mm-hmm.
The benefit of that is, you know, my noise levels lower generally in the car. You know, so it gives you a long-term benefit, and it makes your quote-unquote day-to-day better with ham radio.
Okay.
It makes it more fun, right?
Right.
So it's like you got to, you know, sometimes I say you got to do, when you have a project, there's lots of ways to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's often best to do it the right way. It will take more time, but your end product will be better. And it will also facilitate your future use of it.
Sure.
In the best way, the most enjoyable way. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, so it sounds like to me what you're saying is to integrate it, get a good radio setup in your car, get a good radio setup in your house. Like, and really, in my mind, when you say in the house, it's actually attached to your house versus having to go out to a ham shack.
Well, some people may like that. I don't know. You know, that may fit some people. Some people
sure,
may
but
just...
then but then it does make it a fully disconnected time.
Well, but maybe that's what they want. Maybe they want a
sure
a more meditative seclusion.
A meditative
very zen.
Wow, okay.
Zen and ham radio.
All right.
Maybe they need an hour to go unwind where they just go into a shack.
Okay.
And they're away, right?
All right.
I'm not saying some people. Not me.
Mm-hmm.
Some people.
And definitely not you.
No. No, not me.
No.
But here's another example. I get a lot of messages from people who are like, oh, I can't do, you know, what you do. You're so crazy. You put up big antennas and, you know, my neighbors would freak out.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, your neighbors and your perception of them that they're going to freak out is preventing you from having a good experience on ham radio.
Sure. By neighbors, did they actually mean their wife?
No. No, actually, wives were mentioned, now that you mention it.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have been told that I have been used to sell lesser antennas, not lesser, but smaller antennas, because people have said, well, look, at least it's not this antenna. Look at what Josh's wife has to put up with.
Oh, then that it's like, is genius.
And then it's like, oh, okay. Yeah, that little that littler one that you want to put up is, I guess, okay.
They just show the video of my antenna and they're like, consider his wife. I just want this little piddledy thing. And then 10 years down the line, Hong Kong, she comes home one day, boom, big antenna.
Oh my God.
But again, I will drive home the neighbor comment. Those people are not paying your mortgage. They don't have any say in how you live your life. They can complain all they want. And you
but
can
your
just
wife does.
Yeah, of course. You got to get her on your side or your partner. It could be whomever.
Yes, that's true.
Yes, of course you need to have a discussion with them.
Yes.
I guess.
Maybe build up a purse fund.
Maybe, but, you know.
Then exchange.
People do things differently. You know, everyone's got a different path, you know. I'm just saying. But yeah, the neighbor thing really always sticks with me. It's like, well, why do people... It's like that, I don't know, maybe I got over it because I got tired of, like, I don't really care that I'm nerdy. You know what I mean? Like, I don't care.
Sure.
It's never really bothered me. And I don't really care what people's perceptions are. So yeah. If you care about what people's perceptions are, then doing a highly esoteric hobby like ham radio, regardless of how hard I try to normalize the hobby, is going to look weird to
well,
whomever.
I will say that, you know, I'm very involved in our city and our community.
Right.
And we actually had the mayor pro tem come over, and I was a little bit nervous when he came over.
Yeah.
Because it's a big antenna on the roof, and I didn't want to hear anything about like a city violation or anything. And you know what he said? He was like, your husband is a ham radio operator.
Yeah.
Can I come in and like hang out in his shack?
Yeah. And then he learned I had the YouTube channel.
Yes.
And yeah. Then I think he came over and he's like, can you program my Baofeng?
Yes.
I think I put it in the right direction for him to do it himself.
Yeah.
Because it's the give them a fish, they eat for a day.
Yeah, yeah.
Program their Baofeng. You know, same kind of idiom.
They piss off their wife?
Maybe we need that as a shirt. Program their Baofeng, they're a lid for a day. Teach them to program their Baofeng. They're a lid for life.
Yeah, so, and interestingly, there are quite a few people in the city who are like, oh yeah, like Josh, he's a ham radio guy, right?
Right.
It's like, yeah. He is.
You're Josh's wife? Yes. Versus the other way around, when I'm in public, they're like, you're Leia's husband? But it's completely different circles of people.
Known for different things.
Totally. Yeah, for sure. Well, very good. That'll do it this week. Thanks again, Leia, for coming out.
You are so welcome.
Yeah.
It's a really far distance.
It is.
So I'm going to need you to pay my mileage.
Right, right.
And
I'll get you an Uber pool.
And a per diem, I think.
A per diem?
For the distance traveled.
Yeah, I think. You may have to get a room to get back.
Exactly.
Again, because you have a slow car. You got the 10-mile-an-hour
yes.
car. We don't know what's going to happen on your journey out back west.
My QRP car.
Right, QRP car. Guys, go check us out. HamTactical.com is the merch store. Leia does a lot of really cool work out there. I just got my local appliance operator's zip-up hoodie sweatshirt.
You do be loving it.
Love it. Very good. And check us out at Ham Radio Crash Course on YouTube. We got the Patreon. Links will be in the description for all of that, including our Facebook and our Discord. We got a live stream coming up this weekend. It will be Saturday. And I am going to be breaking out some portable antennas. We're going to be having a lot
super
of fun in that area. And it will be hopefully how this all goes down. I'll be setting up a bunch of antennas and we will be using them live. Doing a little bit
of it live.
Spot
that
comparison.
Could never go wrong.
Never.
Nothing ever goes wrong
when you set up antennas
live.
Nothing will
never.
Go wrong.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. So, yeah, anyway, thanks again for listening. I always say, well, I'm so used to saying watching. Thanks again for listening, and we'll talk to you again soon. 73.
73.